You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: Looking back is not the same as looking back. Document title: Lest We Forget.
This message was previously presented in February 2013. However, it could just as easily have been written today. So let's listen to Lest We Forget. Before I give you my introduction, I would like us to open up our Bibles and read together Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. New International Version, 1984.
But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. The question is, why did Lot's wife become a pillar of salt? We need to read the scripture in context with the words of Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 to 29. New International Version, 1984. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place." The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. There are a couple of very important items to mention for today's message in this scripture: the unbelief of the people, as in the sons-in-law to be married to Lot's daughters. They were already under the ketubah contract. Lot, the daughters, and the wife were taken by the hand, as it is expressing the reluctance to leave, and were warned not to look back, as this would cost them their lives. I have seen it personally in my immigration to the United States of America. It is not an easy task, but it can be done. People that immigrate or move away from their home country can do either of two things: they look back or they look forward. I would like to share with you before we continue the poem, Recessional, by Rudyard Kipling, God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. The tumult and the shouting dies. The captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, an humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. Far called our navies melt away. On dune and headland sinks the fire. Lo, all our pomp of yesterday is one with Nineveh and Tyre. Judge of the nations, spare us yet, lest we forget. If drunk with sight of power, we loose wild tongues that have not thee in awe. Such boastings as the Gentiles use, or lesser breeds, without the law. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. For heathen heart that puts her trust in reeking tube and iron shard, all valiant dust that builds on dust, and guarding calls not thee to guard. For frantic boast and foolish word, thy mercy on thy people, Lord, amen. Lest we forget is a saying used a lot to make sure we do not forget the sacrifices that have been made on our behalves by those who went into the service before us. I was awakened with these words spinning through my mind. Lest we forget. Looking back, lest we forget, don't look back. Never forget. Lest we forget. We will come back on the previously mentioned two references of looking back in immigration and by fleeing away. The poem has some interesting references which are placing today's borders for our message. In the first stanza, we are reminded that we should not forget the Lord our God, who led us out of our darkness into the light, who led us out of the darkness of our Egypt into the light of our land of Zion. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 to 16. Amplified Bible. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land, which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you with great and goodly cities, which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out which you did not hew, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall reverently fear the Lord your God, and serve him, and swear by his name and presence. You shall not go after other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are round about you. For the Lord your God, in the midst of you, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt and try the Lord your God, as you tempted and tried him in Massah. God has given us all we need, and with that, the most important, the Holy Spirit, and the knowledge that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. God, our YHWH, our Elohim, the one that was and is to come. He is our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Furthermore, in the poem reference, is made unto the pure sacrifice that God expects us to have, as David mentions it in verse 17 of Psalm 51, a broken self and a heart crying out in sorrow, truly repentant for our past sins. Psalm chapter 51, verses 10 to 17, Amplified Bible. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness and death, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness, your rightness, and your justice. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you delight not in sacrifice, or else would I give it. You find no pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, broken down with sorrow for sin, and humbly and thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. Oh, there is so much more in this wonderful poem that we would be able to discuss. But for now, I would like to leave it for us with the reference to Romans 2 in the fourth stanza. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, Common English Bible. Those who have sinned outside the law will also die outside the law, and those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. It isn't the ones who hear the law who are righteous in God's eyes. It is the ones who do what the law says who will be treated as righteous. Gentiles don't have the law. But when they instinctively do what the law requires, they are a law in themselves, though they don't have the law. They show the proof of the law, written on their hearts, and their consciences affirm it. Their conflicting thoughts will accuse them or even make a defense for them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the hidden truth about human beings through Christ Jesus. Living within the fear of the Lord is not a curse, it is a blessing. Psalm chapter 111, verse 10, Amplified Bible. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and skill, the preceding and the first essential, the prerequisite and the alphabet. A good understanding, wisdom and meaning have all those who do the will of the Lord. Their praise of Him endures forever. Barnes wrote on the fear of the Lord the following: the fear of the Lord, reverence for God, respect for His law, His will, His government, Himself, the fear of offending Him, which will lead us to do right. This fear is not that of a slave. It is not mere dread. It is not terror. It is consistent with love and springs from it. It is consistent with calmness of mind and promotes it. It does not produce terror, but rather delivers from it and preserves the mind from alarms. The word here rendered fear is a noun of the same origin as the word rendered reverend in the previous verse. The suggestion to the mind of the psalmist that the name of the Lord was reverend or was to be venerated introduced this thought that such reverence is the very foundation of wisdom. These are the items of importance that we need to understand while walking on God's highway of salvation, God's highway of holiness, so that we will not take the exit that leads us onto a back road, turning us surely but slowly around 180 degrees to how it was before. It was Lot's wife that was looking back while warned. It is different from a retrospective look back, as we did on the first Sunday of this year. Looking back to accept what we have done wrong. Learn from it, not to do it again, as in retro, from the past, and in prospect, a possibility. No, for Lot's wife, it was different. She looked back on what she had. She looked back on her old house, her sons-in-law. But at the same time, she looked back on the city of sin she was living in, looking back on the life of sin she was condoning. Okay, how can you say that? Good, I understand. They were still reluctant to leave. They needed to be taken by the hand to leave the city of Sodom, only possessions that what they could carry. If you want to know, for instance, what kind of sin was going on in this city, just read the story in its total and ask yourself where the words sodomy and gonorrhea come from. This was where Lot's wife was looking back upon, dumbed down by the normality of the transgressions in society. As we see it so many times ourselves in our current day, we see so much murder and mayhem on our television sets, and we hear it on the radio, in our music, and we read it on the internet and in our newspapers. Who knows how many people died in car accidents in 2012 or 2011? Okay, for 2012, we do not have the numbers yet, but for 2011, we have them. 32,367 people died in traffic accidents, and it was a time of jubilee. However, we are so focused on showing people how well we are doing that we forget to see the sin and we forget to see the truth of the numbers. When looking more closely at the numbers and trying to learn our lessons from what we did wrong in the past, it is not all that rosy and shiny, as it seems that we have not learned from the Psalm of David, as it seems that there is not a renewed spirit or a contrite heart. In truth, the numbers have been skewed by not revealing that within the 2 years, there have been millions of miles that vehicles traveled less, and leaving out the amount of how many more people have been injured. Isn't this the same as we can imagine with Lot's wife? Her sons-in-laws might have been perfect gentlemen at the dinner table, but they were not. If they would have been the right men for the daughters of Lot, they would have accepted the plea of Lot and had come with them, leaving the life of sin behind. Lot's wife needed to look back on what was behind her, and with that showed that she really still had an attachment to the old life and could not let go of the past. We see it with so many expats coming to this country. They want to start a new life in a new country, but they do not take up the new life. They continue with the old life, just this time in a new country. When we look back, it should be in retrospect, lest we forget. Let us not forget that it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ with the beach landing on our heart that has set us free. We have received from God, together with our Jewish brothers and sisters, a single law. A single law that encompasses all, to reverently fear and worship the Lord. When we live life in that fear of the Lord, we can move forward in the trust and understanding that He is our Jehovah Nissi, our banner, and He is going in front of us, leading us to the place where we need to be. I have a friend that has moved too, from the old place into a new, from the old country into the new country. But unfortunately, what I see and recognize is that there is still a continuous looking back, like Lot's wife, on how things were in the past. The trip to work, to church, the sandwich store. Not on how God has opened up a new chapter, another milepost passed on the highway of salvation. There is a hard time accepting and moving on when we keep on reliving the past and not accept the change of God in our lives. So many Dutch people do not make it in a new country due to this problem. So many new Christians do not make it due to the same problem. They look back upon their previous life, not in retrospect, lest we forget, but with a longing to return to how the things were as of old. Unfortunately, this also means that when there is a longing for the past, there is not a true repentance, and there is always an eye looking back. An eye looking back means one less eye on the road and one less eye on the bright future that lies ahead of us. Let's learn from the past. Let it be Jesus and the Holy Spirit that helps us to look in retrospect. We've been addicted to A, B, or C, but no more saved, sealed, and delivered. The experience will never be forgotten, lest we forget. It will never be repeated, lest we forget. And it will serve as a warning to self and others, lest we forget. on the highway to righteousness, helping others through our past experiences and our new knowledge in Christ through the Holy Spirit to come into the kingdom of the Lord. We do under no circumstance have to forget where we came from. No, we should never do that. But we need to celebrate in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. We celebrate now, no longer in ignorance, but in the fear of the Lord, that what was wrong is nailed on the cross with Christ, and we can have memory of it, but we should no longer be looking back upon it. You are not Lot's wife. There is no need to it, not with all the knowledge that you have received from him, our God and our Creator. In this knowledge, we can see the pilgrim's progress of our own life, move closer to God and further away from a sinful past. We are called to look forward. We are called to learn and to move on. Let go of that what is not of God and move forward on the highway of salvation. As we reflect on this timeless warning from the story of Lot's wife, we are reminded that true freedom in Messiah Yeshua comes not from clinging to the past, but from pressing onward in faith. The scriptures repeatedly call us to remember God's deliverance, lest we forget his mighty acts, yet never to long for the chains of sin we left behind. In the same way that Israel was warned against forgetting the Lord after entering the promised land, we too must guard our hearts against nostalgia for the old life, embracing instead the new creation we are in Christ. This messianic hope shines brightly. Jesus, our Passover Lamb, has broken every bond, and through his resurrection power, we walk in newness of life. The reverent fear of the Lord, as the beginning of wisdom, invites us to live forward-focused, with eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us not turn back like Lot's wife, but run the race set before us, encouraging one another along God's highway of holiness. Dear brothers and sisters, if today you sense any pull from the past, whether habits, regrets, or old attachments, bring it to the cross, repent, receive fresh grace, and step boldly into the future God has prepared. He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. May we live as those who remember his salvation with gratitude, never forgetting the cost, yet never returning to what was nailed there. Come, let us press on together toward the prize of our high calling in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.